Both the gospel and the first reading make a point for us. The first reading is chosen to correspond or reinforce the gospel reading in some way. And in this case, I think it has to do with this particular element of exclusion and division that will arise even among the people of God, even within the disciples, among the disciples of Christ, even within the church. And the direction and correction, really, that the Lord gives to us about this reality of division and exclusion. In the first reading, Moses had called down the Spirit on these 70 elders to assist him. And two of them weren't there, but they were also prophesying in the camp. And young Joshua, came to Moses and said, "Moses, they're prophesying in the camp. I need to tell them to stop, right?" And so Moses responds in this very, very beautiful way. "Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets." Basically saying, just cool your jets before you kick them out, okay? That's basically it. But it was much nicer than that. Same thing happens pretty much in, and it's interesting because it's John who comes running up, one of Jesus' disciples, comes running up and says, "We saw somebody driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop." I'm like, "Jesus, you told him to do what?" And then Jesus, again, he provides this beautiful response. He says, "Anyone who is not against us is for us. Anyone who is not against us is for us. Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets." One of the things precisely that Jesus came to do was to heal division and to restore unity. The most profound mystery of our faith, the most profound mystery of our faith, is how we began Mass this morning. Let's repeat it. Join with me. "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Three persons, one God. The mystery of the Holy Trinity. This loving communion, which is at the basis of all reality. And it was God's intention that his creation should reflect this unity that exists within the Holy Trinity. And it did at the beginning. In the beginning, it was that way. For example, Adam and Eve. It seemed like every afternoon God would come down and take a walk with them in the Garden of Eden. It seemed like that was God's idea of how to relate with us. Go take a walk with God every afternoon. What do you think about that? It's a great idea. There was this marvelous union between Adam and Eve. That's how it's described from the very beginning. The creation of marriage. And the two become one flesh. And then that's elevated by Jesus Christ to a sacrament that becomes a sign to us of the unity that is to exist between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. The unity that existed within creation, like, for example, the garden where Adam and Eve, they tended the garden, but it wasn't toilsome labor. And also the integrity that they possessed within themselves. They had that integrity that their desires were what were for the good. And their intellect understood the truth. Just, that's the way that they were made. But then somebody enters the picture, somebody that we call the devil. And etymologically, the word devil comes from a Greek word, diabolos, the one who throws things apart, the great divider. And that's exactly what happens. You know, God comes down, you know, for his afternoon walk with Adam and Eve, and they're hiding. And God goes, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And that's the great question of all of salvation history, actually, from that moment until Jesus, the Lord Jesus, after his defeating death by death, enters into the domain of the dead and finds Adam and Eve and brings them back and restores that unity, not only for them, but for all of humanity, opening the gates of heaven again. That cry, Adam, where are you, is God's cry of salvation, of his whole history of salvation. And so the devil has affected this division between God and man. He also affected a division between Adam and Eve. You know, God follows up that, where are you? And then he says, what have you done? And to answer that question, Adam goes, well, you know that woman you put in here? He throws her right under the bus. And just where were you, buddy, when all this happened? Well, actually standing right next to her and not doing one thing about it. So that division, the two being one, is... And so sin enters into that bond and division. Within creation, you know, that beautiful harmony that was there. And we see rupture there. We see the lack of appreciation of God's creation. And then finally, there is this lack of integrity within ourselves. Our intellect is overthrown and our wills are weakened. Our intellect is darkened. We don't see the truth so clearly anymore. And we're not as able to choose the good. And so that we enter into that cry that St. Paul maybe puts most plaintively. I was saying this yesterday just myself. Why is it I keep doing this thing? I hate doing it. Why do I keep doing that? And why don't I do these things? I keep on saying, yes, I'm going to do that, and then I don't do it. That division within ourselves, that lack of integrity, of wholeness. And that's all the fruit of the great diabolos, the one who throws us apart, the divider. And Jesus Christ comes to restore unity, to restore integrity. And the devil loves it too. He lets this enter right into among the disciples of Jesus. You know, so they start bickering at each other. But in just a moment, whenever I finish this homily, we're going to stand up and say the creed. And we're going to recite the marks of the church, that the church is holy, that the church is Catholic, that the church is apostolic, and what the church is? One. One. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Jesus says, the Father and I are one in the bond of unity, which is that love of the Holy Spirit, the love, the very love of God. And that's how that's to be affected among us, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this unity. But old Joshua, you know, comes up to Moses and says, tell them to stop that. But Moses says, would that all the people were prophets. And do you know we're all supposed to be prophets? You know, when you're anointed as a little baby, you share in the offices of Christ, priest, prophet, and king. Prophet. We're all, yes, we are, that prayer of Moses. And then, you know, when John comes along and says, yo, this guy casting out demons in your name, Lord, we just got to put a stop to that sort of thing, you know? But Jesus says, whoever is not against us is for us. But how often said to say, we kind of turn that saying around, whoever is not for us is against us, right? You know, I think we've experienced a lot of that in our world lately. Some of it may be kind of brought to the fore and pronounced more through all the stuff of the pandemic. But you know, it didn't have to be that way. You know, we could have said, wow, here is this thing that is affecting every single one of us in some way or another. Here is this opportunity for us to hang together. Here is this opportunity for us to be really sympathetic with one another, understanding, cutting people a little slack. You know, we're all in this. Let's get through it somehow. Let's get through it together. Sad to say, I'm afraid that's not what's happened, but it can. Maybe we can start again. We can begin again. I had a wonderful friend when I was in high school, in college. She was one of the sweetest people I've known. And she used to say, when people would start like bickering, and like, oh, so-and-so said so, she would go, oh, I'm sure that was just an overlooksion. Isn't that a great word, an overlooksion? Wanted to get people off the hook, you know? Seems to me that's what the Lord Jesus wants to do. That's what he came to do. Whereas the devil is the great ensnarer, isn't he? And he wants to bring about this healing and unity between God and man, between ourselves, within ourselves. How many of us are conflicted even in ourselves these days? You know? And the Lord wants to bring that wholeness and integrity. You know, it just seems to me we ought to look at each other and say, wow, you're just exactly like me. This is amazing. You like to eat food too? I love to eat food. That's great. Isn't that amazing? Or you go to sleep at night too? Wow, I love sleeping too. That's just great. Isn't that something else? Yeah. Or all these things, as God has made it, you're made in the image and likeness of God. Me too. Wow, we're pretty important, aren't we? Made in the image and likeness of God. But yet, we strain at gnats to find the things. He's not for us, so he's got to be against us. But let's hear the true words of the gospel. Whoever is not against us is for us.